Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this July the 7th on the West Coast, now July the 8th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome all those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and also on BlogTalkRadio.com. And anyone who came over from the Micro Effect this evening, heard me for 2 hours on the story behind the story, Dr. H. Ruat show, and we had a real barn burner tonight. He was literally getting attacked at his home on his computer and telephone, all his communications throughout the show. We lost him several times, and I sort of had to wing it as a guest and keep the show going, but let me tell you, a lot of truth came out about what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico, on Wall Street, in the international high-frequency trading market, and it's basically financial warfare is what's going on. The diversion is what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico. We made that very clear. I brought out a lot of my new research forward. I was hesitant in a way to do that, although the information has to come out. Everybody has to wake up, and so we did that. This research is a result of a lot of prayer and a lot of faith in God, the Creator, and however the information comes, when it can be backed up with documentation, video and audio recordings documenting this, court cases. Certainly, the trail is evident on Wall Street and in the SEC. The big question is, why aren't these people in jail? Why are they being allowed to wreak terror and havoc and murder and mayhem on the rest of mankind and not pay a price for it? Well, in their minds, they're running the show and they're doing what they have to do. Well, we're doing what we have to do, and that's bringing you the truth. What you do with it is your business. Hopefully, you're going to wake up and you're going to smell the coffee. Tonight's guest is a frequent guest now on Evident Footprints, although we missed him for a good half year or so, maybe even more than that. He has his own radio show every second Saturday on bbsradio.com. So we both are at home here tonight. His show is called Zero Point, and he has authored a book called The Heart Doctrine. And we've been discussing that on some past shows. I encourage anyone that would like to read about how you interface with the rest of the universe and the importance of recognizing that you have a means of staying alive that is a result of your heart beating and that it connects you with the rest of the universe once you learn how to use that. It's a fascinating book. It's a primer in some ways, and it's a doctoral thesis in many other ways. Fantastic research. It's an eye opener. It's a mind opener, and definitely it will open up your heart. And I encourage everyone to read that book. It's written by tonight's guest, Christopher Holmes, Ph.D. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Don. Pleased to be back again. I enjoyed your show this evening with Truat, even though my computer was collapsed 3 times on me during the show.
What the heck is going on?
Well, I get that kind of interference quite often, as well as other people do.
Yes, well, our stream here at BBS was a little bit delayed. I should apologize to the listeners on behalf of Don and Doug Newsom, who worked so hard to keep several streams going for you 24/7. These things happen, and I suppose we can attribute this to the amount of truth that's coming out. These are criminal acts when this is done. They're usually blamed on the power failures and things like that. But like you heard, if you heard True's description of what came up on his screen, the words ha 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 took the screen. So
yeah, obviously, on his blue screen there. When
these are malicious attacks.
Yeah.
And it's because they don't like the fact that the truth's coming out. What's your take on that, Christopher?
Well, exactly. I mean, it's astonishing that all these people in these police and intelligence community go along with this and harass people who want the truth to come out. See, it's amazing. Like, we're doing the job. Like, where are the police? Where are the, you know, intelligence services? Why aren't these people in jail? You know, like, Truot had that. He and one of his guests one night kept repeating that. Why aren't these people in jail? I feel that needs to be a national cry. Why aren't these people in jail? Yeah, and they're interfering. I mean, imagine all these people supposedly protecting and serving their nation. And what are they doing? They're trying to interfere with those people who want justice, who want the truth to come out. And yet they do it. They have thousands of people all over the net, and all this surveillance of people, you know. And these people who are doing this, they don't realize they're part of this. They're part of this terrorist organization, which is destroying the United States and mass murdering people around the world. Like, people are waking up, but there seriously are groups of psychopaths who want population reduction. And they're psychiatrically disturbed enough that they're carrying it forward. And most people just can't imagine anything so deviant. But that's the situation we're facing.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of a quote I read on the cover of one of David Icke's books, which I thought was very good. It's by John Lennon. He says, our society is run by insane people for insane objectives. I think we're being run by maniacs for maniacal ends, and I think I'm liable to be put away as insane for expressing that. That's what's insane about it. And that's John Lennon. And in a way, that's the situation we're in. It's like we have a society with a complete lack of any type of justice. The media is completely complicit in deceiving people and perpetrating propaganda, and, you know, it's just astonishing. Like, the justice system is completely corrupted. The police, the intelligence community, our politicians, the churches, our educational system is dummied down. The doctors are complicit in injecting poisons into people. It's like I would never have believed the kind of moral degeneracy that's overtaken our societies in the modern world. And what's astonishing is how hidden it is from the masses of people. They just don't get it. And in a way, I say sometimes a person has to have courage to face it. And courage, as I've mentioned before, is based on French for la cour, meaning heart. Suggests having a new heart. And I think, in a way, I see people like yourself and Dr. Ott and other truth broadcasters, in a way that we're the soldiers of a new age. Like, we have love in our hearts, that love for other human beings around the world, and we want truth and justice. And, you know, it's a tragic situation. It's all based on stupidity and pettiness and perversion, and it's shocking. I could never have believed that our world would come to such a sad state.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're making some very valid points, and I'm agreeing with everything you're saying, Christopher. It's very hard to disagree when somebody's speaking the truth. One thing that comes through loud and clear to me is that by design, this reality has been created, and the people that you're describing, who are the ones who are sleepwalking, basically, they're moving through life sort of like zombies. And you have followed this spiritual path in a quest to discover who you are and to discover your purpose in life. And I'm not in any way suggesting that now you don't know what that is. Maybe on a grander scale, you're still wondering. you know what I mean. But
Yeah, I've had experiences through my life that have convinced me that, like, I am not my body. And, you know, it was over 30 years ago I had out-of-body experiences. And I was a psychologist, so I became interested in what is the nature of human consciousness. Because if consciousness can exist outside of the body, obviously it was never being produced by the brain in the head. Mm-hmm. And I compare what I call the head dogma of modern science and psychology with the heart doctrine, which you find in all the religious and mystical teachings, which suggests that God is known through the heart and that our true I is centered in the heart rather than in the mind. The mind in the head is compared to the moon, described as a realm of illusion and false knowledge, whereas the self within the heart is the deeper self, and self-realization is described as the dissolution of the false mind into the lotus of the heart. And when that happens, one can live in the heart more and more, and it's blissful and it's illuminating, and we can grow in the way of the heart. And I believe so. I believe that we ourselves have a higher dimensional nature, and that there's actually a higher dimensional physics and metaphysics to the human heart.
Yes, well, that was the next point that I was going to make, but I appreciate how you embellished what I said and defined it, because once a person realizes these things, once one becomes conscious of, you know, they find that answer to the question, why am I here? Why are we here? How do I fit into this whole thing? What am I supposed to be doing? Where am I going when I leave here? If all of those are realities that we sort of accept because we have people in religion telling us this, or we might pick it up in a book someplace, or somebody overhearing a conversation like what the one that's occurring at this very moment. The people that are listening to us speak or trying to feel and trying to understand what we're saying, and if they haven't experienced that process, it's difficult for them to go the next step, which is to realize the unseen and to actually know and become familiar with the unseen, because that is where consciousness lies, real consciousness. It's all over the universe. It's all over. It's inside of us, too, inside of whatever we are. And we're not our bodies. Well, our bodies are vehicles, just like you're not your car when you get in a car to drive to the store or take your kids to the soccer game. You can get into the vehicle and you can get out of the vehicle. Whether you're aware of that or not, or whether you can control the process, or whether you can remain conscious throughout that process and bring back higher knowledge is another story. But in the nutshell, it shows us that if we are spirit and we are part of the grand spirit of the creation, then that's what matters. And so what we're experiencing here is a counterbalance to that. It's designed to keep us from attaining that consciousness. That's all we have to do to wake up, really, is recognize that and really have it sink in. Those are revelatory moments for the individual that experiences that moment when they understand why they're here. People say, oh, I admire your courage, or I'm not downplaying the importance of courage, but they tend to think from a fear perspective. You know, yeah. I'm in this box and I'm fearful and I'm scared and I'm afraid to say and think and feel and be. And that's what they want. And that's stupid. In a sense, really. I don't mean to say that, to say the people that are there are stupid. What I'm saying is to think that way, it's not logical. It's self-defeating, isn't it? Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's been a deliberate attempt by the so-called elites to dummy people down and keep the hidden esoteric and occult teachings from the masses of people. So there has not been any investigation of spiritual psychology or science within our universities or educational system, and these elites have also They took over, like, the World Council of Churches, which is infiltrated by the Rockefellers, and the National Council of Churches. They took over and degraded the churches and the synagogues and temples, and in a way, I think they've downgraded people's religious teachings. They've tried to undermine religion. Themselves, I believe, are Satanists or Luciferians, but they've undermined religion in our society and tried to promote science as a new religion. But even their science is kind of fraud science.
Oh, yeah, we hear that every Friday from Jim Murray.
I mean, I believe they have very advanced sciences, but what's presented to the public is fraud science, primarily. You look at modern medical care, okay, and it's, you know, modern doctors have no knowledge of nutrition or natural supplements, okay, which are by far the most useful thing for resolving all disease complexes. Instead, they've promoted petrochemical pharmaceuticals that go back to the first Rockefellers selling snake oil, which was petroleum-based product, as a cure-all for things. And they've been selling their snake oil for the last century. And anyone who comes up with the cure of cancer or other diseases or disorders, they're harassed and murdered and their discoveries repressed. Yeah. And so this fraud's been perpetrated. Now we have doctors. All they do, you go in and you recount your symptoms and they write out a prescription for you. You know, they have no knowledge of most of them, nutrition and supplements and so on. And it's almost in every area of our society. You look at energy. You know, we could have cars running on water or cars running on alcohol that is produced all around our country. Like, we never needed all the oil. It was a complete fraud almost 80 years ago. Didn't Henry Ford have an electric car? I think he did.
Tesla
and all the early vehicles were run on alcohol. You know, farmers produce their own alcohol. See, but that the Rockefellers owned the oil, so, you know, they brought in prohibition to suppress the production of alcohol as an alternative fuel.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
I was going to say, Christopher, Nikola Tesla created a device that he kept in a, you know, you can call it a black box, okay? And it was hooked up to an antenna, and that antenna sat in the back seat of a Cadillac, and he drove around Manhattan with nothing but taking the energy out of the air and introducing it into this black box.
Wow!
It was a form of electric car.
Running on, I guess, what they call in modern times zero point energy. Like energy that's just latent within space, within the quantum vacuum.
Yeah, there. You know, we talk about that, Jim Murray and I, quite a bit on the show, and this idea of zero-point energy, that energy starts someplace from a point of nothingness, really doesn't make a lot of sense. What you're talking about is producing power. That is the issue. What is the means or the modality of creating power, and that's by putting energy to work. Energy has to be of a source. So in this particular case, he's merely getting the energy that's all around us. That's basically why Wardenclyffe was stopped. His big project, which was going to be wireless communication and quite possibly wireless transmission of electricity. Actually, he was not going to use that Wardenclyffe Tower for that purpose. It was more for communications. What became television? What became the internet? What became radio? What became satellite, we'll say. But we didn't need the satellites, you see. When J.P. Morgan found out about what it was going to be able to do, he had to have it torn down. There was no way he could meter that. He was not going to allow the world to have free energy free energy meaning no charge.
Okay? Yeah.
In other words, if he can't meter it, he wasn't interested in it. So they did that to basically destroy the whole concept. Tesla went on to do many, many other things which were stolen from him, including all his money. He should have died a trillionaire.
Yeah.
He was that prolific. I just use that as one example that brilliant mind in the late 1800s and early 1900s came up with everything they're using today. In fact, many things are just used by the military or the space program for interplanetary travel. They're using his inventions. And they've kept us dumbed down to that extent that we have to be dependent upon these limited resources that they've allowed us to borrow, we'll say. But we pay, whether it's the financial system, fiat money, and usury credit. You cannot create prosperity out of debt. Not for a society. So to tell us, well, you have to do this and you have to do that to be successful, to be wealthy, these are all lies. These are all illusions that they're throwing at us to keep us in the physical and in a spirit of materialism. The same thing with religion. They're lying to us about certain aspects of our religious books because they've written these scripts into how they plan on carrying these things out, overtaking and enslaving the whole of mankind in the pursuit of their new world order. And people say ignorantly, oh, well, it's in the Bible. There, you know, this is God's word coming down. God didn't create us to destroy us. But now, the evil does that. The evil destroys everything that God created. I don't mean to sound like I'm on a rant, but I'm agreeing with you. The dumbing down of the educational system is the same thing. Why would you want people to be stupid? Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense at all. But as long as they control it, they think that they're smarter than us. And, you know, as dumb as we should be and as ignorant and unconscious as we should be, why are they so afraid of us? You and me and Dr. A. Truat and others that are bringing out the truth. Why are they afraid of us, Christopher?
It's such a complex question. And, you know, there's so many mysteries here. Like, you know, what alien influences really may be behind the people we might identify as the world elites, what's really behind it. And, you know, I think many of them are, you know, they're brought up and they go through trauma conditioning and varied, they don't grow up in loving family lives. A lot of the children of the elites, they're shipped off to boarding schools and introduced to sexual activity really early. And they grow up with this feeling of smugness and superiority to hide their underlying feeling of inadequacy and inferiority. So it's a strive. I mean, these are maniacs in a way. The New World Order, I call it the Old World Psychiatric Disorder, because really it's not new. They've been around for centuries. You know, they create all the wars that they, you know, the blood stains through the human history. Most of them are all their deeds through human history, all the wars they create. And it's hard to imagine. It's like these people are heartless. I believe they lose their souls or they sell their souls. I actually believe that they're possessed through hyperspace dimensions. Their hearts are possessed by demons and other entities that exist on the subtle planes. So I think there's a real subtle hidden hierarchy of control and influence of these people. The fact that it could become so pervasive and so well hidden really through history is quite astonishing. I think it's only in our period that people are really awakening to, you know, the true history of what's been done by our nations through the past century and so on. And the internet has kind of allowed this amazing influx of information and intelligence, so we're not as dependent on what they want to feed us through their media, the controlled media. So it's astonishing. I try to understand. I mean, none of the guys I worked with in prisons as a forensic psychologist, none of those people were as perverse as the world elites. Like, even those guys, like, they had hearts and they had troubled backgrounds and such, but they had generally some integrity to them. These people, with their cold-bloodedness and their maniacal nature, they're a breed apart in a way. Yeah, and it's astonishing. Their greed is unspeakable greed that they have, you know, and their desire for power, and then sexual perversions. Money, sex, and power. In mystical teachings, it's taught most people are ruled by the lowest three of your seven chakras. And those are connected to the motives of money, sex, and power. And most people under their control, that's how they take control of them, through money, sex, and power. And it's only the first level of awakening, or the next level of human evolution, in my view, is the awakening of the heart. And then that allows us then to experience higher states of consciousness and to experience higher centers, because there are three centers beyond the heart chakra.
Yes. Now, Christopher, in respect to the work that you've done, even what you're saying right now, do you see the average person out there waking up, even if in some way, do you see signs of an awakening that's occurring?
Unfortunately not. I mean, there's the internet community, and it's like, I think a lot of us kind of, we join that community because that's where we find others with compatible interests and knowledge and such. In my local community, it's surprising sometimes. I go around, whenever I see chemtrails, I go out and I point them out to everybody on the street and show them. And more I'm realizing people, they're chemtrails and they know about it. But it's like people are so numbed, they don't have any reaction to it. Well, don't you object to you being poisoned? And you know, these are giving people in your community, everyone's getting Alzheimer's now. Like, Alzheimer's is so widespread. These people are intentionally poisoning us. These are neurotoxins. They're spraying on us. They're spraying them on your children. They're on your pets, on your gardens, your food, your water. They're poisoning you. But people, it's like they're numb and they can't deal with it. And you know, in modern society, like, they have all this professional sports, which is one of the, you know, professional sports, Hollywood, all the media people and the titillation, and it's like we're fed a constant diet of this. Mm-hmm. And they do that intentionally to kind of degrade people. So people only, you know, you hear it more and more on the radio, TV. It's like there's less and less morality, more and more perverseness in every aspect of our kind of life. Even in the educational system, you know, they want to kind of introduce, you know, homosexuality early to children, and you know, they've degraded our culture so much. And so I don't tend to see it around me. And, you know, it's discouraging, because I try to do what I can do to try to spread awareness, but it's... I get identified more myself as an oddball rather than waking people up. They can't face it. People are in fear and they're numb and they can't grasp it mentally.
Yes. I got an email a week or so ago. Somebody sent me this clip from a movie, and it was one of these Cowboys and Indians movies. And they wanted me to see this because of what was being said in the movie. And I was looking at the sky, and there were chemtrails in the sky. in this Cowboys and Indians movie.
Oh, yeah, was there? Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a big X, and there were trails off to one side of the sky. And, you know, well, they're filming them today. We're in these times. They've been spraying these since the mid-90s.
Yeah.
I think they began in the Denver area somewhere around 1995. So any cowboy movie that was made outside in a place where they're spraying, you're going to see chemtrails in the skies. Many, many movies, but it's not just the cowboy movies. It's intended. It's done intentionally to say, look how stupid they are. They don't see this.
Yeah, and it's true. It's true. People are so stupid and don't see it.
Yeah, and people in high positions, you know. I related a story a couple of years ago where some local firemen were putting out a transformer fire on a telephone pole. One of these transformers go eventually, and they're loaded with oil. And when they blow, they can cause a fire up to the houses which are connected to these lines before the lines burn down. And the transformers are basically there to regulate the voltage. Well, there's a power surge when that transformer blows, if the line still has a connection, and it was actually starting a house fire. So they had to come and shut the street down, and it took hours. It took them the whole day to get a crew from the electric company to replace that power transformer. I'm giving the firemen water, and I'm looking up in the sky, and there are big X's being sprayed all over. And I said, look up there. What's that? Playing kind of dumb. And we said, oh, those are contrails. And it was very hot. The reason this transformer exploded basically and burned out was because of the heat. It couldn't stand this tremendous heat.
Yeah.
And you know, it was in the 90s, very humid as well. And these guys are all dressed up, which is why I gave them the water. And they're looking up there, telling me that contrails are being sprayed at an elevation of 10,000 feet. It just doesn't occur.
It was funny at the supermarket the other day. I was telling people about chemtrails, and one fellow said, oh, I thought they were spraying for mosquitoes.
Well, yeah.
I couldn't believe it, you know. 10,000 feet up, and they're spraying for mosquitoes.
Do you have a lot of mosquitoes in the daytime in Canada?
Well, not as many now. I think generally the insect life and amphibians and life forms like that are dying off. And I think there's less food in the water, and the fish having trouble. I think a lot of species are threatening. It, like all this alkalines, the water, and you know, I think we're having trouble. I think the lower species, like in the evolutionary chain, are not thriving. We haven't heard as much this year about the dying off of the bees, which was a serious problem, but I think that was just part of this greater problem.
Yeah, many scientists attributed the bee problem to microwave technology and cell phones and pagers and Blackberries and, you know, all the wireless components that are being used, that they don't resonate with the frequencies, and it causes navigational problems and I'm sure probably even reproductive problems, and they see that as a food source as well, or something that can really interfere with the food source, because bees are pollinators.
Yeah.
They cause all the different species to grow fruit and vegetables and do what they do. So they're hitting the basic components of an ecological system that doesn't need man's interference whatsoever. It's man's interference that causes all these things.
Yeah, all the problems on Earth are created by these people, eh? Like, there's no reason for starvation anywhere on Earth. If we were wise in our use of all the new technologies and traditional growing methods, there's no reason for starvation on this Earth. There's no reason for the destruction of the environment. It's like all the problems of humankind are really created by these people all the time. All the wars and poverty and disease, and they create all these problems. It's astonishing. It's It was funny the other day. I was watching the weather station, and they were showing different types of clouds, and they were introducing. They showed some which they said were cirrus clouds, and I could tell that really those were chemtrail clouds, because you know how like chemtrails don't stay together; they dissipate a little bit, and they form clouds. And there's been days here where the day was perfectly clear, and they chemtrail it so much that by the end of the day, all the clouds in the sky are all created artificially. The whole thing was artificially created, and people have no idea of it. It's like no one, they can't even look up in the sky anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was funny to see it on TV, and they were kind of persuade people, these are cirrus clouds, and I could see they were chemtrail clouds.
Yes. Well, we've, you know, on some past shows, we've been talking about our higher gifts that we do have the ability to direct our intention on a problem and resolve the problem. And whether it's these clouds or it's severe weather patterns or a leak in the Gulf of Mexico, whatever, we can put our intention on these things in a multidimensional way, using our higher gifts or higher powers, if you want to use that term, because there is power in that. And I've talked about that a number of times on the show, and I'm hearing more and more from people that are trying this out, and they're seeing things change. I would like to, rather than focus on all the evil, because they're doing that all the time anyway. We don't need to talk about it constantly. Let's talk about things that people can do, simple things that people can do to awaken. Those that are interested are going to hear your words, and they're going to know intuitively what you're talking about. Do you care to share any of those things?
Yeah, I'd be pleased to. What I've practiced most through my life is a method taught in what's called the Fourth Way Teaching by Gurdjieff and Duspensky, and it's a practice called self-remembering. And the idea of this is that most people in life are unconscious like sleepwalkers, and what we have to do is wake up. So when we practice self-remembering, what you attempt to do is anywhere at any time during your day, when you remember to do it, you make an effort to wake up at that moment, being more fully conscious of what's going on within you and around you. So you bring your attention fully into the now, into the moment of now, and try to be present mentally, emotionally, and physically simultaneously. So, see, most people go around, and as they go around their day, their minds are always turning. They're thinking about what they're going to do tomorrow and what happened yesterday and things and incidents. Their minds are always turning. Yogis call it the monkeys of the mind. And your consciousness, when your mind is always turning, that's where your consciousness becomes centered more and more in your mind, in your thinking, in your head. So when you self-remember, what you work with your breathing. People need to work with our breathing. And you breathe more deeply and you bring your attention to being more fully awake in this moment, being present. So when you begin to self-remember, you have moments of doing this as you go through your day. And as you do that, you begin to see how much your mind is in the past or in the future or imagining things. And you try to cut that out more and more and just be in a state of wakefulness. See, and the more you increase that wakefulness, see, consciousness, the increase in consciousness is what undermines conditioning in people. and see if the media conditions everybody. And what we have to do is overcome that conditioning, and it's the awakening of consciousness that enables that. So that's one aspect, is just self-remembering, attempting to do something along that line through your days. And the second thing I'd like to mention is the importance of breathing. And yes, the life of the breath is very connected to the life of the soul. Even in the book of Genesis, God breathes into man a living soul. And your soul life is connected to your breath. And when people feel fear or anxiety, they stop breathing, or they breathe very shallowly and they hold their breath. And that becomes chronic over time. So people don't breathe properly anymore. And so what you want to learn to do is whenever you remember to do it, begin by exhaling. Exhale completely. You don't have to force yourself to take a deep breath. What you want to do is exhale fully, and then your deep breath comes naturally. And go around trying to live in your breath, being aware of your breath, in your breath, as you go about your life. And the more you do that, it brings you into the moment, and it increases your wakefulness. So working with your breath is, your breath life is connected to your soul life. And when people sink into fear and depression, their breath becomes chronically contracted.
Yes, and the actual method of breathing is one from the diaphragm and not from the upper chest or the throat or the nose. I mean, what you're really doing
exactly
is you're directing the oxygen and all the nutrients in the air that sustain life and the unseen energies into the whole of the body. And that assists the heart's ability and job in distributing oxygen throughout the body. When you're not breathing deeply, you're not getting oxygen to all the different parts of your body. And the energy centers of the body end up being deprived of that energy. And that's when illness sets in. So, you know, it's a way to stay healthy as well.
Yeah, it's so important. And exactly as you say, it's abdominal or diaphragmic breathing. So your stomach should actually go out as you breathe in. I remember when I was in prison, in working with fellows in prison, and I would say to people, take a deep breath. And all of the men would they'd puff up their chest like, you know, it's like you're in the army, chest out, stomach in. Okay? Yeah. And then it's like you're frozen. You can't breathe then. Really, what you have to let down and expand your abdomen, as you inhale. So you've got to breathe down into your body, and you can feel the breath all through your body. And then also you want to feel the blood flow all through your body. Mm-hmm. In my writing and work, there's this unusual idea that consciousness in the body is connected to blood flow. Like I'm saying, modern science has it completely mistaken. Consciousness is not a product of neurological activity. It's related to blood flow in your body. So if I put my attention into my feet and just I'm aware of my feet get warmer and there's increased blood flow to my feet just when I put my awareness in my feet. When I give lectures, I often get people to put their hands together. And if you look at your hands and they're about the same size, and if you take your hands apart and put your consciousness into one hand for 30 seconds, completely into one hand as much as you can, and then you put your hands back together, you'll find the hand that you put your consciousness into is at least a quarter of an inch longer, and it's more engorged than your other hand, which had no awareness. See, your blood flow is connected to consciousness. That's mm-hmm. why you eat a big meal and it feels like your consciousness is in your stomach. Well, in a way it is, because that's where the concentration of blood is. Or if you become sexually aroused, your consciousness is more in your genitals. See, in my work, I'm saying that consciousness originates out of the heart, but it's not only in the heart. Consciousness can be all through the body, you see, and which is what we want. We want to be conscious through our whole body.
Yes.
So the blood flow is important.
Christopher, don't we also want to be aware of our speech? When you say things like, and people say this out of habit from hearing others say it, oh, that person is a pain in the neck. And then they wonder later on why they have a stiff neck and a headache and other problems. And the more that energy at that frequency festers within them, the worse it gets. And then pretty soon they have all kinds of psychologically induced disease or malady, and it's sprung out of the unconsciousness, the unawareness, or the lack of awareness of misusing and misunderstanding what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, we have all kinds of different habits in speech and thought, and more we want to break free of habits as much as possible. I think the most important thing is, I believe that if we can, in a state of kind of meditation or relaxation, if a person can try to enhance awareness of your heart area, often as I go about my day, I'll tap myself over the heart area to kind of bring awareness within myself to the heart area. But if a person goes into deep state of relaxation and enhance your breathing, because your breathing is so important, and feel the blood flow all through your body, and I feel that people can cure themselves inside out through doing that through zero point dynamics, because your original heart center is the core of your body, and if you get in touch with that and be breathing and feeling the blood flow through your body, I think you can regenerate your body from within without in that way.
Yes. One thing that you're reminding me of too, and it's in prayer. When I pray, and I know other people who do this too, the consciousness of the prayer flows through the heart. If you're praying and you're thinking and you're dwelling on these negative feelings, you're sort of sabotaging what can occur in a prayer. Miracles happen because you do it right, or you do it the most natural way, without interfering with the process. And the mind tends to interfere with everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it's interesting also, in modern times, they have they had that book and movie called The Secret. And it's this kind of new age idea that, you kind of form a mental intention and you create your reality through your mental intentions. Well, that's an aspect of it, but really it is said in mystical literature that the heart is that which gives form to thought. So just to form mental intentions with your mind, and that's not going to work. In a way, what empowers the mental intention is the dynamics of the heart. And as you say, like when we pray, we want to feel it in our heart. And we might think and repeat the words in our mind, but we need to feel it in our hearts. And that is what empowers our thoughts and intentions. Mm-hmm. And I think this is really important in this troubled time that we're in. Like, I think we need to be learning some white magic, in a sense, to combat this terrible, dark, occult forces that have been used against us. Mm-hmm. And I think, prayer, like beseeching God, like to forgive us for our sins, the sinfulness of what's become of us and our culture and societies. And be beseeching of help, like to help us, have mercy on us, to give us a chance to take back our world and have a new life on this planet. So I think the dynamics of the heart, are essential to prayer and to us in our dire situation at this time. And like, I believe there is spiritual and divine help there. And we need to try to invoke this or somehow to help manifest this in our
own
lives.
We have sayings. Yeah, Christopher, we have sayings like, you know, I'm suffering from a broken heart, or this individual died of a broken heart. And that's really not even a true statement, because you can, if you're operating from the heart, good things are going to happen to you. Number one, that's the false self, the ego lying really to the individual. And when we use those phrases, those are some of those words that we tend to use all the time. Or I'm feeling blue. And really we're actually, inducing a state of blueness to an excess in certain areas of our chakras when we say those things. And we use the words want. The thing that got me about the secret, it really wasn't a secret. If you read Zig Ziglar's, any of his books or Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, they were reiterating what Napoleon Hill had written in that, been commissioned by Andrew Carnegie to spend the rest of his life writing that book. He said, if you spend the rest of your life working on this, you will be a millionaire. And he was. Well, he taught him to be a productive individual. Did he really gain the spiritual insight behind all of this? No, it was more a mental conditioning exercise. It was, it was habit. And, you know, he would say things like, you'll meet your wants and your needs. Now, those two statements in and of themselves are really lies, because you're saying you will meet your lacks. A want is a lack. And a need, in a sense, is a lack. And when you say, well, in your prayer, Lord, I want this so much. Help me get it. I lack it so much. And you're telling the universe, really, I lack this. I lack this. I lack this. And the universe says, okay, that's what you want. You're going to lack. You're going to be in want. And that's what people do by misusing the words. Now, the secret said, you can have anything you want if you believe. In other words, if you assume because somebody said something was so, you can be in lack. That's what that's really saying. And that's why I didn't particularly care for the book nor the video, because there's a lie in there that adheres to that be a good little worker bee, be a good little gold miner, be a slave, but you don't know it. You're going to feel good about what you do, and we're going to feel better because we're the ones really making the money. We're the ones experiencing abundance. And you're doing it on our behalf. You're not doing it for yourself. That's really, in a spiritual sense, what's going on. Do you agree with that, or?
Yeah, I wrote a very critical review of The Secret on my website. I call it Quantum Magic for Sheep. Because what I found with their movie is, like, what all do all these people want? It's money, sex, and power. Or, you know, you want wealth and abundance. Like, it's like everyone is caught in this cycle of selfishness and egoism. It's like people don't care for their nation, the what's happening in the world, these people being murdered around the world and all these lies. It's, you know, The Secret is it's like the height of narcissism, you know, just trying to fulfill all, you know, it's like you have a magi in a jar and you have all your wishes fulfilled, you know. And what do all these people want? They want new cars and more money and success in their business and a new relationship. And the guy in The Secret movie, he wanted a parking space, you know. It's like it's wanting all these material things. Meanwhile, our society is being destroyed. There are tens of thousands of people being murdered around the world all the time. It's just huge problems, and they want to entwine us in this little self-narcissistic self-fulfillment. So I see it as very destructive, and And I also don't think it works. I think it because it, they focus was more on the mind and on selfishness. And I think real magic, there is an element of selfishness to it. Like I would never pray for wealth for myself. And no matter how, even if I might like that, I wouldn't pray for that. I wouldn't try to do magic to attain that. Like it is said, white magic, like black magic is for egoic and selfish purposes. And in a way, their version of the secret is a form of black magic for narcissistic, you know, new agey people.
Well, you know, it's materialism and identification with the physical in respect to spirituality, you could replace that word or those words want and need with the word desire, and it becomes a request for experience and recreating your reality. You see, you could say, I desire to possess this for this reason. Now, when you go to that length of analyzing what your motives are, you tend to begin to look through the heart at these things rather than through the mind. The ego is going to try to trick you. Wait a minute, you don't need that. That's a waste of time. You don't get anything out of that. What you want is, see, there's that word, want. That's what the ego tells you. What you want is money. What you want is popularity. You want people to worship you. You want people to think you're the best guy in the world or the best gal in the whole world. And you're going to have lots of friends when you have money. Well, you heard the songs the Blood, Sweat, and Tears used to do. The old Billie Holiday song, God Bless the Child.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The lyrics to that song really speak the truth.
your consciousness of the heart is referred to, Aleister Crowley refers to it as your child consciousness. Because as I understand it, when children are born, their consciousness originally resides more in the heart center. And you have what in there, you have what's called the bliss sheath, which is the size of a small grape. And it's a mass of unemergent light. And if you're conscious in that bliss sheath, well, you're filled with the feeling of blissfulness. So I think we experience that when we're young, but then we lose that as we grow older and are conditioned and go through different hurtful influences through our life. So we lose that heart feeling, and the mind, as you get older, becomes more and more dominant, and we lose the heart. So then we need a second education to kind of break down this false conditioning of the mind to regain that original child consciousness of the heart, and then to live in that.
Yeah, and just like the mind is overtaken through the gradual repetition of programs and commercials or advertisements or mantras, slogans, sayings, the abuse of the language, using words that don't really mean what we're told they mean, and using them in the context and the syntax of a language, you know, you're going to be fighting an uphill battle until you come to the realization that it's not you, it's those things that you've been taught to accept and not question. Certainly, people have lots of questions. The big one is, why is the world so screwed up? These people keep telling us they're fixing it, or this is going to fix it, or that's going to fix it, and yet the condition gets worse and worse every day by the minute.
Yeah.
The quality of everyone's life is lowering in frequency if they're just responding or reacting to the things that are done to them, with or without their knowledge. And then the revelation when they do learn that certain things like the sting in the Gulf of Mexico was planned and plotted out very, very carefully. They make it look like a dramatic event. It's like watching a screen in a theater. It's bigger than life, and it's a threat. There comes the fear again. There's the misdirection. There's the intentional misapplication of of universal law. And so many people get drugged into it. It's easy for me and you, too, to get drugged into these things until we get all the truth out there. Then you see exactly what has to be done. These people, you know, ask the question, why aren't they in jail?
Yeah.
You know, why aren't they in jail?
I think it's been so invaluable how you've pointed out how these pictures of this gushing oil volcano is fraudulent. I mean, I think that is one of the most important things to get out there. You mentioned a video. I haven't looked for that on YouTube, where a woman caught this scene where the door opens in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when you just look at it, after a while, you just reason about it, like how well it's lit. I mean, it's so well lit, and this is a mile down, and how they then have all these different views of it, and it looks so different from different periods where they have different shots of it. Like, really, I think if we can wake people up, this is a fraud. This whole thing, it's like the airplanes on 9/11, I believe, were concocted in the media studios. I don't believe that there may have been missiles or something. I don't know the answer, but I believe mainly it was created by the media. And I think the media is doing it again. It's a complete farce.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny. We had
a lot of time developing that to sell the whole world on that. They did spend time. And they did a pretty decent job, but there are telltale clues, such as all the networks having a moment of blackout at the same moment. You know, it's where the screen literally went black.
Oh, this is a 9/11, coverage.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. They had that moment of blackness at the moment of impact of the airplane into the building. And they had the simultaneous moments of blackness,
Yes, and that does not occur unless they're all getting the same feed, and it would have to be on a delay, you see? They have to have time to introduce those images into the real-time stream. And really, all you're seeing is a video representation of what they want you to see.
Yeah.
And they have their witnesses lined up ready to talk to the media because they have to promote this lie. Or these lies that we were told. And when you examine any of the alleged facts at their face, they don't stand up to the scrutiny.
Yeah. And I think today we've got, you know, in this fraudulent supposed ongoing video of this oil volcano, I think that's really valuable for people to begin to realize this is a fraud. This is not taking place a mile under the ocean. This is a fraud. And people just have to break away from the conditioning of the media. I mean, I still watch the TV and the news, but it's like you watch it to see what tail they're spinning. You know, but once you wake up to it, it's like I turn the TV on. It's almost funny. You realize that, oh, this is like a big soap opera, and these people are all actors, really. The whole thing, everything they say is based on lies continuously. Like I saw Netanyahu on Larry King tonight for a minute. And everything he says is a complete lie and deception. But you have to awaken to a certain extent. Then you begin to see it. You can just see through these people.
Yes. We're not just making outlandish claims. These are things that, you know, you can do the research yourself. Anyone that disagrees with what Christopher is saying, anyone can do this research. You're not asking them to believe you. There's a way to come into a state of knowing this, and you have to be willing to invest the time to check it out for yourself. When you do that, when you go through that process, You will feel some strange sensations. Disbelief is one, the first one, and that's actually a good one. You hear everyone say, I can't believe they did this. Or I can't believe that I can't find something that shows that what Christopher Holmes and Don Nikoloff are saying about 9/11 isn't really true. You had a president. The president of the United States was holding a book, My Pet Goat, upside down, pretending like he was reading along with the classroom. You think that guy wasn't deranged at that moment? You think he wasn't in fear? Yeah. You wonder what drugs he was on, or what could have been going through. I don't even know if he has a mind, but the pea for a brain that he had. What went through it? He's sitting there reading a book upside down. The whole world is seeing this image. What does that say about the rest of this country, or the rest of the world for that matter? It's the same as these videos they're showing us of the Gulf, are they not? Or the same corruption in Goldman Sachs and the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury and the White House, or in the FDA or the CDC or in the FBI, the CIA. We can go on and on with initials, can't we? Yeah. Go into all the diseases that they create. You know, it's just an endless stream of assault on the mind and the body of people.
Yeah, and I read an amazing book. I've been trying to get more background to all of these problems we're facing. I read an absolutely excellent book called The Conspirators' Hierarchy, The Committee of 300, by Dr. John Coleman.
Yeah,
are you familiar with that?
Yeah, sorry? Many years ago I read that.
Yeah, it's an absolutely excellent book. And one of the most amazing things I thought, to me, which is all new, is kind of learning about the Tavistock Institute, which was kind of the original think tank of the elites who are identified, these 300, with the aristocratic families of Europe and Bank of England group in the City of London. And their primary think tank was the Tavistock Institute, and how these, in a way, they were the original think tank that gave birth to all these other secondary think tanks, and they took control of the media. Like, people sometimes say, you know, why doesn't the media is not doing a good job, that people think, because they're not investigating and reporting honestly. But what people don't realize is the media are doing a very good job, because the media's job is to deceive you. That is the media's job, and they're doing an excellent job. You know, it's not like people kind of think, yeah, they have a complete wrong understanding of the media. The media is intentionally trying to deceive you about all major national and international events. All of them. It's completely based on lies, conditioning, and programming. And they've been working at it. It's very good now. It's very sophisticated, because they've been doing it for 50 years. You know, it all ties into Bernays and you know, all these neo-Nazi propagandists and psychiatrists they brought over after the war. And you know, the whole thing is an intentional mind conditioning. All the mainstream media.
Yes. Well, that the first person that they brought in from the medical community was Sigmund Freud. Freud basically was given a mansion and a large stipend to put together this whole thing. And you know, you hear in circles of psychology and psychiatry that Freud had this dispensation, this obsession that all of man's motivations and desires sprung out of a drive to procreate. And then I think it was his nephew that took over after him. So this,
yeah, Bernays,
this
went on, yeah, yeah,
yeah. This went on for quite a long time, but that ties in with the secret societies. It ties in with the media companies, and it ties in with many of the universities as well. Stanford Research Institute is another one that's sort of partners, and they're behind the scenes. They're controlling the National Education Association. They're dictating all the policies that are going to be dictate what what teachers are going to be allowed to teach, what subjects and what methodologies they're going to use, what the requirements to get a diploma in high school is going to be. And they're moving it to the point where they're making totally dysfunctional beings out of the children. Yeah. They don't want them to be able to work out mathematical problems or even arithmetic problems, and they don't want them to be able to read. Well, you're seeing the reflection of that in chat windows when people are writing. They don't use capital letters. They don't use punctuation. They don't spell words correctly. They don't even make cogent thoughts, complete thoughts. Sentences are just run-on sentences that move from one word to the other, and half the time you can't even figure out what a person's saying because they're not even using the words of the language they're allegedly writing in.
Yeah.
It's astounding. And yeah. That's by design. That's
yeah, it is. Yeah, people don't realize that, like how, I mean, the Rockefellers, like 50, 70 years ago, their intention was to try to take over the educational system. They also took over book publishing. I mean, people are really taught nothing. When I look back what I was taught about modern history, now I realize everything I was taught was lies. You know, the whole who Hitler was, you thought he was this kind of isolated lunatic in Germany. You have no idea, really, all that lay behind it. How he was financed out of Wall Street and how he was at Tavistock himself and was, you know, an agent of the Illuminati at one point and all this hidden history of the Second World War and the First World War and the Vietnam War, all the wars, everything we've been told about modern history has been based on lies written by the people who were behind the scenes, always to cover their tracks of what they've done.
Yeah, that brings about a rhetorical question. Do you think we've ever been taught anything truthful about history, knowing what you know about more recent history? I find, personally, that as I go back further and further in looking at politicians, presidents, that I see the same pattern. And I've gone way back. I've gone into the 1700s, from the early 1700s, I see these patterns. I see them in the 1600s, too.
Yeah.
The way this country was colonized, and we never really were liberated from that colonization. In words, yes, but the reality is behind the scenes. The money still goes overseas. And it's
exactly.
That's
one of the biggest frauds perpetrated on the American people, to think that you won your independence from England. And they maintained that deception of the American public for the past centuries. And in a way, you've never, you know, this committee of 300, these elite class of, you know, British and European nobility, aristocrats and corporate executive and Zionist bankers, these people have kind of been controlling and had America under their control for the past century. Whereas people believe that we were in a democracy, you know, there's a completely false belief. It's like, really, when you vote for the Democratic or Republican Party, it's like you're voting for two crime families, and you have your choice. Which crime family, which mob boss do you want? You know, it's not really democracy. There's no real democracy if people are completely deceived as to the nature of their candidates and what the issues really are. The whole thing is a farce. Everything we thought about being free and free speech and free press and democracy and human justice in our society. Our societies are so unjust. They've completely corrupted the police departments and the judiciary. You know, everything we thought about our nations has been based on lies. And the whole time, you know, there's these foreign influences which have been controlling our destiny. And people have never woken up enough to free ourselves of these tyrants.
Yes. And unfortunately, you know, the same thing is going on in Canada in your own way. And in Mexico, they're still under the domination of Spain. Yeah. It's not overt, but it's obviously there. All the markings are there. And if anyone that goes and investigates this secret societies, when you go to the Vatican, then you see Opus Dei, which came out of Spain. You know.
Yeah.
Oh. They make saints out of these people who were just absolutely evil.
Yeah.
Absolutely evil beings. And they continue to be that way.
Yeah.
I wanted to make a point, and I got a message from one of our listeners, too, in this regard. They're selling us democracy, but democracy is a different word for communism. The United States was created as a republic. We say that. And to the republic for which it stands, okay, it is a republican form of government. That doesn't mean the Republican Party either, okay, because Democrat and Republican are two political ideologies designed to divide and conquer. That's a Tavistock invention, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a republic. It was our Constitution is a republic. The United States as a country was formed as a republic, and they have adopted secretly behind the scenes admiralty law, converted it into the law of the land, put it all under the jurisdiction of the Uniform Commercial Code. And their intention is to have the UN enforce this. Okay? This is all smoke and mirrors. It's all illusion. It's not the reality. Bottom line is that we were born, we were given life by a creator that created the whole of the universe. And we are part of that creation. And we are under the law of the universe, not the laws of these criminals. That's the bottom line right there. I don't care what your political affiliation is, what your religion is, whether you're, you know, being an atheist is a religion too. It doesn't matter what that is. Ultimately, we are part of God's creation. Now, those that are living in the demonic realm are going to do whatever they can to convince us that we are part of theirs. They have to force us to be a part. That's how evil they are. You see, that's how delusional they are about that. Go ahead, Christopher.
I agree completely. I mean, we have been deceived, and you know, about the status of our countries, about the control of these foreign elites over our affairs. Yeah, you know, recently we had this G20 in Toronto, eh? It was so interesting because the media coverage of that, their whole focus was on this group of radicals called the Black Bloc. And the whole thing was a setup. I'm sure that these were cops. They created all these scenes. Just this group, this kind of group of 40, 50 hooligans who are allowed to run around and smash windows and stuff like that. And all the media covered them the whole time as a way to justify why we spent $1 billion to protect this criminal meeting that they had up here. And the media completely ignored all the issues of why there are 10,000 people out in the street protesting for all the criminal acts of our government. And the police themselves created this black bloc. It's turning out now, the evidences are coming out, that they were provocateurs. Because that's what the police do. And there are pictures of the police. They arrested close to 1,000 people. You see some pictures. The police, there's like 100 of them, and they kind of charged into groups of people, arresting them and beating them, and they would go into crowds, they would yank people out and take them and put them in paddy wagons. The police were completely criminal.
And they were arresting passersby too.
Most of these people, they weren't doing anything. It was just they were in peaceful protest. The police were completely criminal.
They were all wearing masks,
yeah,
and they all had on black boots with these yellow dots on the bottom. And I saw many of the pictures of the boots as they were breaking the windows or
Yeah, on the provocateurs. That's right. They had the same, some of them had the same dots on their boots. And the whole thing, and the whole media coverage, they ignore all the real issues of what, why people are protesting, what's all, instead they have this media circus. And, and then they give you polls, but their polls, they can create any poll numbers they want to make people believe, oh, the majority of people supported the police, they say, 80%. Well, I mean, people didn't really see the videos you see on YouTube about what was really done to the protesters. You know, people who watch a TV probably would support the police because you're completely being deceived. Anyway, it was a shameful event in Canada. And we have major problems in our societies. And it's going to be an interesting time to see where it all comes to. I've always had the feeling that somehow it's going to be resolved by 2012. And I always felt that somehow these people are going to be in prisons by that time. I've always felt that somehow something would change.
Well, it could even happen sooner, you know.
Sorry?
It could even happen sooner.
Well, it should start happening any time. I mean, here we have this Gulf crisis. It's absolutely horrendous for the people in the southern states. You know, it breaks my heart to think of those people who had such a productive and abundant lifestyle and these psychopaths who want to make their trillions of dollars and their New World Order plans would destroy an environment and people like that. I love the clip of that woman you played on your show one night. I put it up on my website, that woman who spoke so beautifully down in Louisiana. Do you know who the lady I mean?
That was Kendra Arneson.
Yeah, she was amazing. I put that up on my website with a picture of a woman leading a revolution. I thought that would be a shock that would, something's going to set this off that people are just going to start being infuriated. And maybe the police someday might actually want to do their job again to actually capture criminals. You know, maybe the intelligence community people might really want to use their intelligence and honor their oaths of office instead of working for these psychopaths. And if that ever happened and people just started turning, these people, these scumbags, it would all come unraveled so quickly. You know, it really would. You bring these people into court and start exposing their crimes, it would come unravel so quickly. You know, I always felt you could take back the wealth of all the nations that these people have put all the people of the world into impoverished them. And if we could really seize the assets of who the terrorists really are, it would pay off the debts of all the nations on earth. And I've had this vision of kind of reducing all national debts to zero by the year 2012, and then we'd really have a new age, and there would be such abundance for all the people on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel that is possible.
A totally different reality of consciousness, and we would really have meaningful lives.
And the rapture would sweep the world. It would be like people, they would, like that's what I felt when I began waking up and learning on these things. I went into states of rapture and like learning all these things about history and all these unknown things and kind of awakening and realizing it all. It sent me into states of rapture and ecstasy even, at times fearfulness, but you know, I can, if we could ever turn the tables on these people and take back our world, like this is a worldwide problem. It's not just in the States or Canada. It's a worldwide problem. And if we could ever effect justice, human justice again on Earth, we would have a whole new age and all these new things would come out, you know, we'd have cars that ran on water and people wouldn't have to work, you know, 5-6 days a week to support themselves. There'd be such abundance and health and longevity. It would just change our world. People have no idea how destructive these people have been on the people of the people of the world, spreading their illnesses through inoculations. How much they've done that is disgusting. how they've degraded our food, the medicine, the education, every aspect of our society they've degraded. You know, and they think that they're some new world order. I mean, it's the old world psychiatric disorder. These people are psychopaths and very disturbed. And we need to reestablish justice. That's what I beseech God to help us bring about justice on the planet once again.
Well, that's a great closing statement there, Christopher. We're out of time, but I want you to give out your website and any contact information and or information about Zero Point, your radio show here on bbsradio.com, if you would, please.
Yeah, my is triple W Zero Point, spelt out zeropoint.ca for Canada. And all the information about my shows and contact information is up there. Thanks very much, Don. I always feel honored to be on your show, and I really appreciate you having me back. And
well, the honor is mine and the listening audience. Everyone really enjoys hearing you. You have a very lucid way of speaking, and it's obvious you're speaking through your heart. You're addressing all the issues, and you're telling us really why these things are like they are, and I appreciate your spiritual insight, your consciousness, and we'll look forward to your next visit on the show as well.
Yeah, great. It's on the 20th. I think it's a Tuesday.
Tuesday the 20th, that's right. So I'm going to wish you a good night. Be safe and keep up the great work. And we'll be talking to you soon again.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, BBS. Good night.
Good night. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And tonight's special guest, Christopher Holmes, PhD. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and blogtalkradio.com on the internet. Also want to thank Don Newsom for the sound and Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Want to thank the listening audience for bearing with us, having some problems getting the stream rolling. Wouldn't you know? But we did. And we appreciate everyone that hung in there through that. Join me tomorrow evening when my very special guest will be none other than former U.S. Marine, my good friend, Drew Malone Raines III. He is the host of a very important show on blogtalkradio.com and on Wind Talkers Radio Network. It's called A Marine's Disquisition, and he's going to be my guest tomorrow. We're going to be talking about lots of things, so you're going to want to tune into that show. In the meantime, again, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.